Is that what I'm saying? And we start off with a rousing
Boker Or.
Yesterday, we had come up with a lot of various important cholim about Piskei Halachas, but were Nogea, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yossi, and Rav Meir, and Rav Shimon, all of which were defined in certain ways, one connected to the other, along with various other cholim that we had in Piskei Halachot of Yehuda and Rabim, as far as Rabbon and Diraisa were concerned. And we were rather shocked to find that after all of this, and we were very happy with it, Rabbi Sharsha comes along and says, it's worthless. We don't really rely on any of these klonim. So we started to ask why he would have said that. What did he base himself on to say that these klalim are actually not reliable? I mean, Rabbi Yochanan is a pretty important man who made these klalim. Where did he get the idea that we don't follow these klalim? So we brought a couple of examples yesterday. We were docha the examples by saying that it's very possible that these kolim were kolim that were left for post Piskei Halachot from the time of the Gemara, and to bring the araya from the fact that we pasken this way. I mean, what is that? What exactly does that show? Obviously, we're not saying that never in history did we pasken, for instance, like Rabbi Akiva, so on, the Keneged Chavirov, or so on. Today we have yet a third example of such a thing. The truth is, it's a little bit strange. I mean, because we keep coming back to the same issue. We could have said this in the beginning. And the Rishonim explained that what we're trying to do is to create basically a burden of precedent. If I can show you three times that we passed him like Rabbi Shimon, for instance, connected Rabbi Yehuda. So then, I mean, it's a little bit strange that you should pass him now as the norm that will never pass him like against Rabbi Yehuda. Three times already is a pretty strong indication that there was no such nitiyah. If there's no such nitiyah previously, why would there be such nitiyah afterwards? So we bring yet another example. And we got up to yesterday, Elomi Hadetzan on the fourth line, on Mem Zayin. Elomi Hadetzan. Hameniach et beito v'halach lishbot be'ir acheret. The question here is that somebody owns a home in one city. He did not make an Eruv on Shabbat with the people in his chatzer, but he left town, so he's not there anyway. And he went to spend Shabbat somewhere else, so it doesn't matter whether he's a Jew, whether he's a Goy. He nonetheless is oser livnei chatzerot to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, look, the fact is, even though he's not in the city, he didn't leave permanently. And it makes no difference. I mean, if he's a goy, whether there's even a chance to come back on Shabbat, I mean, there for sure. But even if he's a Jew, he answers on the Meir chatzer because he still has reshut in his chatzer. It's not as if he's given away now his home. And you need an eruv whether the man is actually present or not. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Oser. Since he's not in town, he doesn't ask him. Rabbi Yossi Omer, well, it depends. A Nochri, who's not in town, since he can come back to town at any minute, is still Oser. Whereas the Yisrael, once he leaves town for Shabbat, that's it. He's out of, his house is now out of mind. And therefore, Eino Oser, Mipnei She'ein Derech Yisrael, it's not a norm for Ben Yisrael of Oba Shabbat, obviously, in which case we could just exclude him from the Dayarim for Shabbat, and there's no problem with carrying the Chatzer despite his lack of participation. Rabbi Shimon says, what does it have to be a situation where he's in a different city? I don't care if he went across town to stay with his daughter. He wants to spend Shabbat with his grandchildren. What's so bad about that? So he goes and he stays by his daughter's home within walking distance, but he's not planning. I mean, when you go somewhere for Shabbat, you don't plan and coming back in the middle all of a sudden. And therefore, as long as his dat is no longer to be in that chatzer, once he's mesiach dat, doesn't even need to be in another city. He is not Muslim. Now over here, we find Rav pasking that Rabbi Shimon. Now who's the one who argues on Rabbi Shimon in this case? Man Poligale, it's Rabbi Yehuda. Now the truth is, I mean, it's also Rabbi Yossi. I mean, we could have asked for Rabbi Yossi as well. It's okay, but we choose one of them. I thought you said Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Halacha, Rabbi Yehuda? Wait a minute. I mean, isn't this another example of the same thing? My kushya, Gemalacha, Nami, Yechad, Yitmar, Yitmar, Yechad, Yitmar, Loi, Yitmar. You just keep bringing me cases of previously defined Piskei Halachot. So you're trying to overwhelm me with examples. I'm underwhelmed. It could be that we were well aware of the fact that there are particular places in which we pasken. Like, we were simply saying, after examining the evidence of the cases that have not been pasken, that in these cases, the dot is noter, or however we understood it yesterday, three possibilities, noter, or is actually pasik, whatever, or nearing. So I'm underwhelmed by the abundance of evidence that you keep presenting to me of cases where we'll pass them, like Rabbi Shimon, can I get a Rabbi Yehudah? Ma, Rashi Gadol. By the way, the very fact that we choose that specific example of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehudah is maybe a riot to those who learn that that's the whole point over here. We're trying to show you a pattern. Because even though I could bring you Rabbi Yosef, I'd rather show you this pattern. So, again, I don't understand how Rabbi Masharsha would be able to conclude, just because we have these examples, that necessarily the Kolim are not Kolim. Okay, let's take a look at this. We'll try a different approach. The Mishnah there was talking about a man who was on the road, doesn't have a chance to be able to get to where it is that he's going, knows exactly where he would like to have his Makom Shvitah, despite the fact that it's going to take him a while to get there, but it's within 2,000 amot of where he is. So he can mentally create an Eruv. As long as he knows the place, he can say, my Makom Shvitah is underneath the apple tree on the north side, and he knows where that is. For that matter, anybody who would be walking, who is now on the road and doesn't have pot to make an Eruv, and he's actually in this spot, he could just say, I want to stay here for Shabbat. Why does he need an Eruv? He could be Ma'arev Beraglav. When it says Ha'ani, it means somebody who doesn't have pots because of his situation. He's on the road, or he's unable to get there. Rabbi Meir says, yes, but it's not just taking that as an example. That's the din. Anu ein lanu ela ani. In other words, the ikr din of Eruv, says Rabbi Meir, is defined by pot. The thing is that we have a special dispensation if somebody is on the road and is unable to utilize pot. So then we have this Mishnah. But certainly don't make a rule that if a guy is in his home and he has the ability to have pot, that he could then mentally create an Eruv.
He didn't have
pot
because he couldn't get there in time.
Either way, so somebody on the road. He's on the road, so we're not mechayev him in the normal Eruv. It doesn't mean literally on here. Rabbi Yehudah Omer, I show its difference. He's on the road. He's not on the road. He's in his house. He has pot. He doesn't have pot. Lo amrum ha'arvim b'pat ala la'akel ala ha'ashir. Shlo yetzei v'yarev b'raglav. The only reason we created an Eruv is as an extension of the given that if a person is standing in the place where he wants to be for Shabbat, that is Makom Shvitah. Therefore, anybody could, if he wanted to, go to a place, stay there, and say, this is where I want to be Kona Shvitah. As soon as Shabbat comes, he goes back home. Why does he need an Eruv? Since it's a big inconvenience to do that, because who wants to start walking home now? Say, I made my Eruv maybe all the way at the end of the Yalpayim Amot. Who wants to walk up 2 kilometers after Shabbat, sit and wait out there and so on? That's a big tircha. So therefore, we created a mechanism whereby a man could sit in his home and send somebody for him and give a kid a buck and send him to make an Eruv for him, and there's no problem. Nobody has to trouble. And that's all. So I don't know. It's a kula. Why would we want to be machmir? It's not a chumra. It's a kula. Umasil Rabchia Barashi Rabchia Barav Kamedirav. Now Rabchia Barashi was teaching. And oh boy, we've had this. I mean, it's terrible to be a private tutor in the house of Rav. But anyway, there he was teaching Rav's son Rabchia, and he told him this. He told him the Mishnah. He said, Echad Ani V'Echad Ashir, and he was quoting over the words of Rabbi Yehudah. Here comes the voice from the background again. And Omar Le Rav, well, Sayim Banami, you didn't finish. You should make sure you include over here in the siyum of your teaching him, Halakhak Rabbi Yehuda, I want him to know. I'm posturing like Rabbi Yehuda. I understand. So why would we need, therefore, to posture like Rabbi Yehuda if one of the klalim of Rabbi Yochanan is that Vahamrit Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda, Halakhak Rabbi Yehuda? So if Rav felt it necessary to make sure that his son would not make a mistake and think that the halacha is Rabbi Meir, so then obviously he wasn't convinced that there was any real meaning to these klalim, and that who knows if his son won't decide to have his das neita according to Rabbi Meir. Okay, so what are you showing me? You're showing me that Rav didn't hold of the Kolam of Rabbi Yochanan. Thank you very much. So because Rav didn't hold of the Kolam of Rabbi Yochanan, it's Rabbi Masharsha. It says, forget about the Kolam. We pass it like Rabbi Yochanan can make it, Rav. Not like Rav. So Duma Rav let Leilani Klali. Why does Rabbi Masharsha let Leilani Klali? There's no such Klali. Helami Haditsna. Okay, you're right. Let's see if we actually could have said this earlier, because one of our earlier Rayas was also from Rav. We could have said that at that point, even if you hold that that's the case, All right, sorry, no, I mean, they talk out. We could have said this before. We were pushing them.
Rabbi
said the same thing. Yeah, they're both from the Dor HaMa'afar, but we're passing like Rabbi Yochanan again. Elam yad tzanan. Hayevama lo tachalot velo tityabim. Ad shiyula shelosha chodashim. If a woman's husband dies, if she's not evidently pregnant, she should not take, she doesn't have any children. So she does not take chalitza or yibum. Now yibum, obviously, I mean, there may be nisr karet and sleeping with her. She can't do yibum. Because if she is pregnant and her brother-in-law sleeps with her, then it's being pogia be'erva. But even yibum, since she might be... I'm sorry. Even chalitza started that. Even chalitza is not an option for her, because in the event that she's pregnant, then the chalitza is not going to be a kosher chalitza, even if she's mapilai afterwards, according to some, and loses the baby. So at that point, she would need a chalitza. Or it may be that the point is that the word, this is a machlokas in Yivam, it may be that the word will get around that she's a chalutza, even though she's not a chalutza, and then she'll be a zerato kohen, and then they'll have to be machriz, and then if she ends up being married a kohen, maybe someone won't have known about the achraza, and he'll have known about the chalitza, and he may come to the conclusion that a chalitza is muteret, etc. Okay, so therefore, to avoid all of these problems, better she shouldn't get chalitza at all, until we can tell whether she's pregnant or not, so we wait for 3 months. V'chein shar kol hanashim. The same thing would be true about any other situation of a divorce or a death of a husband. Lo yinasa'u v'lo yitarsu. They should neither get erisin or nisuin. Because that's where gozer, that is to say, the erisin. Look, you know, we'll let you get erisin, even if you don't go to the chuppah. It'll already come to situations where you will go to the chuppah, or you will sleep with the guy, and then we won't be able to tell the difference between the son of the first one, the son of the second one, which could run into horrific problems in terms of arias and yibum issues. Later on, we got to know who the father is. And therefore, wait until we can tell Shloshah Chodashim if she's pregnant or not. And this is true. I don't care whether the original marriage, which is now dissolving through death or divorce, was a complete marriage, so that they had consummated the marriage, they hadn't consummated. I don't care whether she's a betula, she's a bula. I don't care whether we're talking about that her husband died or that she was divorced. I don't care whether we're talking about now erisin or nisuin. Rav Yehuda says, wait a minute. Nisuot yitarsu. Look, if she was already married, then she might be pregnant, so at least she could get engaged. And arusot, if she was only engaged before, I use the word engaged loosely, obviously, arusot is more than the English engaged. Arusot yinasu, and if she was only engaged, then we don't have to worry that she's pregnant, so she could get married. Unless she's engaged in Yehuda, and Yehuda, they often sleep with their fiancés. They should libo gasp over there. The minhag was that they would have the boy and the girl meet together before the marriage, which is, I mean, outrageous. But whatever, you know, they might get a little bit too close there. Now, there we have to assume that, I'm exaggerating a bit, of course, there we have to assume that she might have gotten pregnant even as an arusa. But they actually used to give them time together, more than, obviously, they always met. Rabbi Yossi, kol anashim yitarsu. Rabbi Yossi says, there's no problem of erusin. What's the problem? Why should we worry they're going to sleep together as an arusa? So let her get married. There's only one case where we don't allow erusin. And that's a separate issue. Chutz bina almana mipnei ha'ibu. There, for 30 days, if her husband died, it's improper and inappropriate for a supposedly mourning widow to be... 30 days. Mipnei ha'ibu. Only the din of ibu. Shloshim yom. That's the din of a wife, an husband. So shloshim yom, she shouldn't get married. And in this, apparently, Yisholop and Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda didn't give a chiluk of the case of Almana, where it's betosh shlosh. That's how Rashi learns in Yivamot. There's a completely different pirish of Rashi here. It's the nature of the machloket. There's a lot of kashas on the Rashi over here. Most of them, I mean, here is not really the sugya. This is discussed actually in Yivamot, where everybody sets out to disprove Rashi's approach here. So I'm just learning it the way Rashi himself says it over there. V'amnina, Rabbi Elazar, and we say the case was that Rabbi Elazar was not feeling so well, and lo ol levei midrash, and he didn't go to the Beit HaMidrash one day, and ashkechel Rabasi davi koin. So he finds Rabasi standing, and he asks him, my homer bebei midrash, what happened today in the Beit HaMidrash, Amar le? So Rabasi tells him, well, Rabbi Yochanan was in the Beit HaMidrash today, and he paskened like Rabbi Yossi. And we asked, oh, really? You mean to tell me that the one arguing on Rav Yossi was only a Yechidah? Because over here, the Mishnah just says, stop. Now that's a Stam Mishnah. So if it's a Stam Mishnah, then Rabbi Yochanan should have paskened like the Stam Mishnah, the Shitato. So we asked, you mean to say that he paskened like Rabbi Yossi because it was neged only a Dat Yachid and not connected the Stam Mishnah? Again, there's a machlokas as to whether that's the issue, whether it's the Stam Mishnah issue, whether it's the old question of Yechidah versus Rabbim and so on. Okay, this is the simplest way of learning this again. And he said, indeed it's a Yechidah, but Tanya, I'll show you it's a Yechidah from the Braita. Suppose we know that a particular marriage was not exactly very successful, and she was never spending much time in her new home with her husband. Actually, she would always run back home to her family. Or we know that they were not getting along. Or the husband was ill, he was too old, wasn't able to have sexual relations with her. Or maybe she was sick. Or maybe she was an akara. And anyway, we know that she was sterile, or zikina, or maybe she's a ketana, or an islandy. And whatever the case is, and she was a heneruya lele because she had taken medication, or ayabala chavush bebet asurim, every husband wasn't even home, or she was mapelet, where she was pregnant when her husband died, but we know that that fetus was aborted, so that there's no chashash in any of these cases, really, that she's reasonably pregnant. Nonetheless, kulam tzuchim lamtin shloshah chodashim, de Rabbi Meir. So it's Rabbi Meir who is the author of the Shita, that under any and all circumstances, we go to the same halacha, we always are machmer, wait 3 months. So it is a yachid. And Rabbi Yossi is matil yareis v'dan aseh miyad, which shows, of course, that this is a machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. We've already seen that in that case, if it's a machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, that the halacha would be like Rabbi Yossi. So then, lomali. And why did he need to say halacha Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said that there's a rule that we follow, which is Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. So now, if he himself had to say halacha Rabbi Yossi, he sure didn't think very much of his rule, did he? So why did he need to say Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, halacha Rabbi Yossi, if he said it already? Why is that a problem? My kusha, dimalafukim erum nachum ramashmur, diomer halacha Rabbi Meir b'gzerotav. Remember, there's a completely different order of psak that we're talking about over here. A psak halacha in terms of a question of da'at, whether this is the way the halacha is noted. There ain't nothing on me. Halacha is Rabbi Yossi, can I get Rabbi Meir? But we have another klal, which is that when Rabbi Meir makes a gzera, not where he's arguing about what the... Obviously, Rabbi Meir knows it makes no sense to be choshesh here. He's only being gozer to say, look, you can't start differentiating because the end result is that we're going to end up with mix-ups. And therefore, let's just make it a general rule, 3 months after a death or a divorce. That's all. That's a gezerah. And we have a klal, which was quoted in the name of Shmuel, that he, no matter what other general rules of psak there are, the halacha is like Rabbi Meir when it comes to the gezerot that he makes. So it may well be that Rabbi Yochanan felt he needs to make a clear-cut statement that over here we paskin against Rabbi Meir, even though it was a gezerah. And that certainly people would have thought that his general klal of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, halacha Rabbi Yossi, is not said in terms of gzeirot, but only in straightforward el halachot. So this doesn't prove that Rabbi Yochanan himself rejected his klalim. Elamiha, it's from the following brisa, perhaps. Detana. Hochin le'yorid shel nochrin. Now here the question is, that we know that there's an isur in dealing with goyim around the time of a holiday, whether 3 days before, certainly biyom edam, because where we give them business success, or they're able to sell, or where we make them happy with the way it is that they have set up the society and the court system, and we show them that we're buying into it, they like that. And it gives them a sense of satisfaction, and then they'll go to church and bow down to whatever it is they bow down to thank the good Lord for the fact that the Jews are buying. So normally we don't allow you to do that. Nonetheless, if the fair, and of course as we know from the Middle Ages also that the main business was conducted in fairs, so if the, as a matter of fact, there's even places where the Marshah is missing Pirish in the Marshah, in which he says we don't have a Pirish on this because all of the Talmudim left for the fair, which is amazing because it means he wouldn't write a Pirish unless he had put it through the Libra.
I remember one place Marshah said he wanted to be rich in Krakow.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So, I mean, so this is based on this sugya, that if you have to go to the Yerid, that's where you do the business basically for all year. So you're not going to miss the Yerid. So you can go to the Yerid Shal Nochrim The lokhime, I mean, you can even buy beimavad in shvachot, batim, sadot, kramim, and kotevu maaleh bar ka'ot shalom. You can even write out contracts and have them stamped and signed in the goyish court system. Because anything that you can get away from them into the Rishus of Yisrael is a mitzvah. Good thing to do. The im haya kohen, you know, it's an amazing thing, but we know to us it seems strange that they malek otev bar ka'ot shalom. I mean, you know, the Gemara says because they're made about the fact that you're malek bar ka'ot shalom. To us, it seems understandable. I mean, it's a big world out there, you know. Like, Nafkamina, some little Yidla, comes into the court. Like, they're going, oh, look at this. Rabiat came into the court. Oh, we're really having success. But it's very interesting. You had exactly the same situation with United Israel in the early years. It's Talad Hayom, in which there were all groups of the population who held you weren't allowed to utilize Zionist courts because it would be misamah them to buy into their system.
And that defines a
exactly. Now, the same thing. The point is that we take for granted the world is as it is. But the nature of Avodah Zorah is assertion that this is the way things are. So they're fighting for it. The truth is, deep down, they believe that the more bells they ring and the more incense they spread and so on, the more they're creating the God that they're worshiping. So anybody that buys in is lending credibility to what they know is a corrupt and bereft system. And that would actually go and be moda to it that they get. You see this all the time in Israeli TV, all the time. If they'll have one representative that's a frum guy who's willing to be part of a tekis of some kind, which is a joke to any observer, you know, some kind of mishmash. They got something from this country, something from that country, put it together and put it on TV, and they'll shoot off a cannon, or somebody will walk back and forth and look important, whatever it is. You know. And they have somebody with a yarmulke. It's already, they're buying in. It's important. And this is exactly the shaila. Can you do something that allows people to believe you're buying into something that they are creating out of a whole cloth?
Isn't the state buying into the yarmulke?
Right, that's the way yarmulkes look at it. That's certainly a good approach.
And the missionary told me that you'd rather get one Jew than 150 Gentiles.
Than 151?
Than 150. Goy.
Yeah.
He said you'd rather get one Jew than 150 Gentiles. And he was helpful.
Wow. Yeah, that's today.
The Mormon basement.
Oh, man.
Is that that's the reason?
That's the number one thing.
Do we agree on some major things?
No.
It's our biggest mistake.
That's okay. So this going on. I didn't know they were. I thought they wanted everybody. Anyway, and furthermore, if he's a Kohen, he could even travel to Chutz La'aretz in order to be done or to be Ma'ari Mahem, to get property for out of their hands. As a matter of fact, in the same way that he could travel to Chutz La'aretz, even though there's Tuma, and Kohen's not supposed to be Matani, he could even go to Beit HaKvarot. Wait, hold on, buddy. You're getting out of hand over here. I mean, you're talking about a tumah d'oraita. I mean a beta pras, which is the Rabbanan. We already saw a soda that was necharaj bokeva, the Rabbanan Bergozer. Maybe there's a bone fragment to come in contact with it, so on. Even that will be mekalon. And what's more, he could do these things and be metameh and travel to Chutz La'aretz in order to get married and to learn Torah. Ah, now here we come to the machlokas that's important to us. Says Rabbi Yehuda, when are you allowed to travel to Chutz La'aretz to learn Torah? Bizman she'ein motzei l'lmod. It's only if he can't find somebody to learn from where he is in Eretz Yisrael. Alva motzei l'lmod, if there's somebody there, so what right does he have to what? He's going to have a better shiur in Chutz La'aretz. Lo yitameh. Rabbi Yehuda zimmer, af bizman she'matzei l'lmod, nami yitameh. That's not true. Lefi she'ein min hakol zoche adam l'lmod. It's learning from someone is not a generic thing. There's sometimes somebody feels he needs the right person to learn from. To him, the right person is someone else who is in Chutz La'aretz. So he'll have to be mitameh. The Omer of Yossi, Ma'aseh b'Yosef HaKohen, I can tell you, halacha l'maisa, where Yosef HaKohen was halach etzel rabbi l'tzidon. Tzidon was outside of the gvulot of Eretz Yisrael. It was already Tumas Eretz Amim at that time.
Tzidon was, or he had to Tzidon, go through Eretz Amim to get to
Tzidon? Tzidon is what it
was. Yeah, but it's that's called Eretz Amim.
Yeah, when it wasn't Kodesh with the Yishniyetz or the Yerushalmi. Lumot Torah, and Rabbi Yochanan, here's the problem. Rabbi Yochanan was the one who made the Klolim. Rabbi Yochanan says, Halachak Rabbi Yossi. Now, why would Rabbi Yochanan say Halachak Rabbi Yossi? Lomeli. Va'amit Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Halachak Rabbi Yossi. So, I mean, so it means that Rabbi Yochanan himself didn't believe in the Kollelim. So that's what Rabbi Sharkeh says. Maybe these were like loose things, but they certainly weren't meant to be serious guidelines, or Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't have found it necessary to repeat the halakha.
It's an idea that in Parshas Noach, when they definitely mention the boundaries of Canaan, they definitely mention Tzidon and Pasuk. Tzidon Baruch HaTzidon, Tzidon Amorah.
Then it deserves to be dumb, eh? It's Canaan.
It's Canaan, it's good down the Mother Venus, so there's such a shite.
Well, there
was Omar Abaye, this we'll worry about when we get to Gittin very soon, when we'll deal with the Tzur and Sidon issue. But right now, look, we're not sure that the Klolot of Rabbi Yochanan, where he would have passed, like Rabbi Yochanan, maybe that was said. Dafka in a Mishnah. Mishnah is reliable. We know what something says. Rabbi Yossi, it's Rabbi Yossi. But in a Braita, it can happen in a Braita. What is said in the name of Rabbi Yossi was actually Rabbi Yehuda. What's said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda is actually Rabbi Yossi. I mean, a Braita is not reliable the way a Mishnah is. And therefore, maybe he never would have been Michael his Kalal in that circumstance. Kavash Balan, that he's telling you that even on what's written in a Braita, you can rely on to follow the Kalalei Hapsak. So again, I mean, why... It seems very dramatic and a leap that's unjustified for a Misharshia to determine that less than Alani Kololi, just because of these examples. You have not conclusively shown me that that was a reasonable statement. Says the Gemara, you are absolutely right. And what we should have said was, not that Rav Misharshia simply rejected the Kololi. What he said was, apparently, Elahachi Ka'amar, Hani Kololi, Lav Divrei HaKoninu, the Harav, less than Alani Kololi. You already admitted to me that Rav didn't talk of these klolim. So all Rabbi Sharshia said, these klolim are not klolim to the klal, they're klolim to those who believe in it. Rav didn't hold to these klolim, that's all that he meant. He didn't mean it's not klolim at all, in Okinami, to Rabbi Yochanan, and we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, then these would be klolim. I must point out to you that there is a question that has not been dealt with, which is that if we asked before, Lamai Hilchata, and we had a three-way machlokas about whether it was halakha, matim, or nirim, then none of this makes any sense. Obviously, we need the paskin halakha. If we hold it normally, it would only be matim. Why isn't the very fact of the Gemara's continuation a riot that we don't hold of that whole issue, and that it was clearly not halakha? Okay, there's a number of other, I'm afraid it's just a little bit too technical, the questions over here, but there's a number of other issues, which is the interrelationship of the other klal, halakha, kedivrei hamekel be'eruv. Where all of these cases that we brought at Grey Roof were Kedivrei HaMeikel cases, and maybe that overrides that klal. I mean, which case, b'chlal, you can't bring a right. Even worse, because Rashi says, this is how we're positive, because it's Halachik Kedivrei HaMeikel Bei Roof. So that becomes a major question, Bein HaRishonim, of which the simplest approach is... Yes, it's in which the simplest approach is that the Rosh says Halachik Kedivrei HaMeikel Bei Roof after applying any other rules. That's how he says, stop, not in relationship to the circuit, but according to him, that's not even a problem then. He's still saying, like, this is the way we're asking. Okay, but I mean, I think this is more of a not directly Erevin Sugya, so we'll move on into Erevin. Omrav Yeromishpo. Until now, we discussed Chafetzim of a Jew and Chafetzei Hefker, which was the Machlokas Rav Yochanan ben Nuri in the Rabbanan, about whether Chafetzei Hefker are Konim Shvita on their own. Now we get to another issue, which is Chafetzei Nochri. So Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Chafetzei Nochri Ein Konim Shvita. That if these Chafetzim belong to someone, but that someone himself does not have a concept of Shvita, because there's no Shvita for a Nochri, those Chafetzim have no Makom Shvita, and if Lamaisa, they're brought somewhere, you can move them wherever you want. Because they didn't come in to your city from another Tum, they never had a Tum. So now, who is this being said according to? Lama. Are we talking about, according to the Rabbanan, I mean, it's Shita. The Rabbanan hold that even Chafetzei Hefker are not Konim Shita. So, Hashka Chafetzei Hefker, the Letlo Bahali Ben Konim Shita. If you're telling me that Chafetzei Hefker that you might think have nothing in the way of Kinyan Shita, if Kinyan Shita is just a matter of the reality of where they were, I understand. If there's an owner, then the owner takes precedence over the Chafetz, as the Chafetz has no volition and therefore doesn't have a Shita. But you might have thought that if there's no owner, so then the chefetz at least is kimikomo. No. A chefetz is nothing, even when nothing's in the way. I mean, so if a chefetz which doesn't have a bialim is not going to shvita, certainly a chefetz of a nochri where the Nokri himself is not Konish Shvita. So Itlul Baalim Miboyim, and obviously they're not going to be Konish, but they're not going to be better than the Baalim, are they? So that can't be what we meant. We must have meant over here Alibli Rabbi Yochel ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochel ben Nuri holds that Chavtze Hefker are left to themselves, in other words, are Konim Shvita. So Kamash Valana, therefore, what he's coming to tell us is, Eimar the Amar Rabbi Yochel ben Nuri Konim Shvita. Where did Rabbi Yochel ben Nuri say that Chavtzeim are Konim their own Shvita? That's only if they don't have a violin. Hanimil Chavtze Hefker, the late Lohu Baalim, Aval Chavtze Hanukhri, the Itlu Baalim Lo. Hashemkein, those chafetzim where there is a da'at, where that da'at himself doesn't have makom shvita, so the chafetzim will certainly not eat. But he himself doesn't have makom shvita, because the concept of shvita is alien to Nochri. No, anywhere. A Nochri doesn't have an idea of shvita, doesn't keep Shabbat, doesn't have tchumim, doesn't have the concept, it's a meaningless concept. There is no Shvita. Shvita isn't where you are. Shvita is where you are for Shabbat.
Shabbat.
Yeah. Sure, what else is there? So Nochri doesn't have Shvita?
So it's either like Hefker or something else.
If it's owned by a Nochri?
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not like Hefker because it isn't simply in a natural state. So where did Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri say his din at Chavtze Hefker Konim is only where there's no dot, but if somebody owns them, so that gets in the way of their being able to be Konim Shvita. Meitzvei.
The subject of the Baal.
Yeah, correct. Meitzvei. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, Hasho'el kli min ha-nochri b'yom tov, v'chin ha-mash'il lo le-nochri kli me'erev yom tov, v'chzir lo b'yom tov. Or for that matter, ha-kelim v'ho-tzarot she-shavtu b'toch ha-tchum. Here it says, somebody borrows something from a guy. And this is a guy that lives in town. Or he lends a guy something erev yom tov, and that was within the tchum, and then the guy gives it back to him. Where you have various containers and storage places that are all within the tum, yesh lam apayim amal kol ruach. So these things, whether they're owned or not, they still have their tum of apayim amal. And wherever it is that the bialim has the right to go, let's say he made an eruv, he can't take this with him because it is stuck in the city because he only got it after Shabbat. The guy gave it back to him. Only after Shabbat had begun, or he was only found out about this Otsar only after Shabbat had begun. So therefore these things cannot be removed by them. And in a case where a Nochri was Mevilo Perot Michutz Tchum, Hareze Lo Yezize Mimekomam. If they were brought outside of the Tchum, from outside of the Tchum, they can't be moved because they had already been Koneshita in the other place. Now the guy drove now 100 miles, brought them over here, they're outside of their Tchum, and therefore he's not allowed to move them. Now, I don't get it. I mean, Iyam Bishleim Kasav Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Cheftzei Nochrim Konim Shvita. If you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that Cheftzei Nochri do get a Shvita, okay, so then this is going like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and that's the reason that if they come into my town, they're not movable. And this has nothing to do with whether they were brought for me. Bichlal, they can't be moved outside of their Arba Amot because they only have Arba Amot because they were removed from their tum, despite the fact that it was a goy who owned them. So, I mean, who says this? The only one who could say that is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. If you're going to tell me that even Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that Chavtzei Anochri are less than Chavtzei Hefker, and therefore cannot be Kodesh Shvita, so then who's this going according to? Nobody would hold this. So in Hamani, lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, v'lo Rabbanan. So now this doesn't make sense. You just told me that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, you analyzed the whole maimer of Rabbi Yonah and Shmuel. I don't understand it.
Is it brought by the place game? I remember Chutzlars can get mail in Chutzlars. Certain types of mail, like certain magazines, come from outside the tchum. It's brought down.
But there's other issues over here that's brought for you.
What?
It's the other issue that we've had all along is where something is brought for you. So here, this wouldn't work out according to anybody. This was a very serious issue when they were delivering Harry Potter on Shabbos. Serious problems. So, no, they had to, it's interesting, they had to get a special heter. They did this in London. Oh, I'm being very serious. Really? They had to get a special heter.
Why, it's coming because of the on Charles?
First of all, there were other problems that they had to open it, even if it was the mice. The truth is they had these enormous storage houses where it was in the tomb. So that wasn't the problem. But there were problems of how do you open up the package. And deliver Harry Potter on Shabbos is going to be a big problem. And it was prohibited by the publisher, as you know, it was a major issue. You couldn't possibly get a copy of Harry Potter before Shabbos morning. I mean, it was exactly at midnight that it was mutter to read Harry Potter. Before that, it was also. So they had to get a special heter. I was there, and I was in London when this happened. They got a special heter for Shomrei Shabbat. They opened up the bookstores an hour before Shabbat, and if you walked in dressed like you're a Shomrei Shabbos, you could get Harry Potter earlier than anybody else in the world because of the Shabbos. Exactly. So there you go. So I was definitely brought by the Paiskin for Haraya. It bangs on the door at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Shabbos. Harry Potter!
Really?
It's a tragedy. He says, what do you mean? Well, we can't read it because we can't open it. You can't open it! He says, let me open it! Look at the English here, no man. So now we got a problem because if even Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that if Heftze Goyim are not Kainim Shvisa, so then this price doesn't make any sense at all. So how money? Lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, v'lo Rabban. So now how can you tell me that Shmuel's Maimer, that Heftze Nochri, Im Kainim Shvita, was said Alibi Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? It clearly was not said Alibi Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Says the Gemara, no, okay, you're right. Le'olam Pesav Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Heftze Hanochri, Kainim Shvita. Actually, we were wrong. Shmuel clearly had not said that Heftze Nochri are not Kanim Shvita Libet Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. He had said it only Alibet Rabbonan. So Shmuel Yomek Rabbonan. Ah, you ask me, so then why does it need to be said? Dekamet Rabbonan Shita. I mean, isn't it obvious that if Heftze Hefker are not Kanim Shvita, then certainly Chafetzim that are owned by an individual who doesn't have Shvita won't be Kanim Shvita. Well, the answer to that is that Mao de Tema, Gzeira Baalim de Nochri, Otu Baalim de Israel. You see, if they have Baalim, then people get confused. Notice the Rabbanan say like this, something that isn't owned, everybody understands it isn't owned. But something that's owned by a goy, a person doesn't, people think, well, I mean, doesn't it go according to them? They can think, well, he doesn't know. Anybody Shvita? What Shvita? Who knows from Shvita? They know that it belonged to somebody that lived outside of the throne. In order to avoid that confusion, we made a general halacha. But anybody who owns something, whether it's a Nochri or whether it's a Jew, it's Kanim Shvita according to where the Baalim is. And that, I would have thought that. I'll leave it to Rabbanan. So Kamash Malan, therefore, that he's telling it's not, the Shvita it isn't, and that there's no such Gezerah. So Mata Tem Gezerah Baalim Nochri to Baalim. So Kamash Malan. Rabchia Barabin Om Rabbi Yochanan says, actually, that is halacha. But Chavtze Nochri, Shalokishmuel, or Kanim Shvita, because of this Gezerah, which only goes to show how little Pshita it is. And that indeed, Gezerah Baalim de Nochri, Otu Baalim de Yisrael. And so Mimela, we do in fact Aser Chavtze Nochri. It turns out that we run the full gamut over here of being more Mekil on Chavtze Nochri than Chavtze Hefker to being more Machmir. There was actually a case of Ani Dichri de Ativa de Barkata. There were these rams that had made their way from Chutzatrum and been brought by Goyim from to Mevarchata, which was outside of the normal term of Mechuzah, just as a matter of fact, and Rava was mater even the name Mechuzah to be Kona, the Dichri from Mevarchata, and to bring them back to Mechuzah for Yantiv, with an Erev, obviously, and obviously without problems of buying and selling on Yantiv, which is easily things to do. If it's a guy that you normally buy from, you can take it, you afterwards. I mean, this is anybody who lives here in the Rova and near the Rova Armeni knows. And get your yontif goods over there if you forgot something. So Ravina was a little bit upset by this. He asked Rava, I don't understand, what is this based on? Is it based on the Shmuel's Maimer that we were talking about? My diet, but didn't you hear that Rabbi Yochanan said that we make a gzeira of Chavtze Nochri, and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, halach of Rabbi Yochanan? And Rabbi Chiya Baravin quoted Rabbi Yochanan as saying, Yomer Rabbi Yochanan, Chavtze Nochri, Konim Shvita. Why? Zera Baalim de Nochri, Otu Baalim de Israel? Ooh, not good. So then Rava said, okay, fine, but at least, what we could do is that the people that are in Mevarchata, where these things arrived, so Mevarchata, they were brought into Mevarchata. So let's say, if they were brought into Mevarchata, Mechutz Letchum, then, since we pasken, like Rabbi Gamliel, that's something that is outside of its tomb, but lands in a city. It's brought in. I don't know if it was brought in. So if it's brought into a deer, sahar, or ear, that we give them the entire thing. And Rav before, remember, Paskin Halach Rabbi Gamliel in that case. That was the opening sugya in our parak. So therefore, at least in the Verchata, they could be bought and moved, because the whole Mevarchata is like Arba Amot. And because of that, okay, buy them in Mevarchata, don't bring them to Mechuza. That, you're right. So Adama Rava, Lizman of Nebevarchata, the Kula Mevarchata, the Didhu, Ke Arba Amot Damya, since they were moved into Mevarchata. So therefore they now get the Kula of Arba Amot of the year.